everybody. This is Ryan Hoover with Product Hunt Radio. This is our second recording, and I'm here with Kat, Nikhil, and Jack. And do you guys want to introduce yourself briefly?
Sure. I'm Kat Minialik, and I'm a partner at Y Combinator. I started at YC about 6 months or 7 months ago, and before that, I worked with Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit. And prior to that, I worked for about 4 years at Wired Magazine. So I have a lot of product background.
And you just moved into the partner role just last week, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stoked.
Nice. Nice.
And I'm Nikhil. I'm at Shasta Ventures, where we focus on Series A investing in consumer and enterprise companies. I started off while in college. I actually went to college with Jack, where I started a company called Artsy. It's a place to discover original artwork. And then after that, I was at Insight Venture Partners out in New York before making the move back to the Bay Area about a year and a half ago.
Cool. And I'm Jack. I currently work at Teespring, which is a custom apparel t-shirt company.
And if you're on Product Hunt, you've probably seen Teespring. We've ran two campaigns and made, I think, $800 in profit so far. So
yeah, so we're super excited about the partnership.
Yes.
and so I'm focused on growth there. So it's anything we can do to grow the company, make the product better. And then I also dabble into business development and finance and get to touch a lot of different stuff. Before that, I was an investor from a fund called Hydrazine, where we did seed stage investing in companies in San Francisco and New York. And I did that for 2 years prior.
Nice. Nice. So each of us have our kind of favorite Product Hunt find. Who wants to go first?
So the product that I'm talking about is Flock. This was started.
He posted this last week, right?
Yeah, I posted it last week. Got some good upvotes, so that was exciting. So this was a product that was built by a friend of mine, Adam Waxman, in New York City.
Mm.
So basically what the product is it's a messaging app that lets you make plans with your friends based on very kind of loose plans and timing. So for example, I could say, I want to get dinner in Soma on Thursday. And then my friends would see that I wanted to do that and they could join the flock and they could, you know, send alerts to their other friends. And we don't have to pick a time. We don't have to be really specific about it.
Do you have to fly in a V when you meet together? Like,
you don't have to, but it helps.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's like a bonus.
Yeah.
So I think what's really cool about it is that it's a way to, the app is built around kind of the natural way that people make plans, but it kind of tries to put it all together in one place. And I think that's really awesome because, you know, we're seeing now, I think we're seeing messaging apps all over the place that are filling different niches for what people want to do. So, you know, we're seeing, you know, apps that let you communicate one-to-one with friends, let you do one-to-many on Twitter. You can, you know, you can communicate internationally with WhatsApp. You can communicate anonymously through, you know, various different applications. And so I think what we're seeing is kind of siloed applications for different use cases. And that's kind of where this fits in. Yeah.
Look who wants to be my friend on Flock. I'm just opening it up. It's this guy, Nikhil. I haven't opened it up since you sent this request, so yeah. I'll confirm.
Spreading by word of mouth.
Yeah. That's right. I haven't, I saw this, actually Adam emailed me and I've been really bad with my email and apologize to him, but he emailed me about the product and I hadn't had a chance to like check it out, you know, and then I saw that you posted it and he jumped in the comments.
Yeah, and it's a very pretty product too. He has a good focus on how it looks.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen it a long time ago and it didn't look nearly as good because it's been out a little while.
Yeah, and they've released a couple updates, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is looking fresh. The hardest thing is like just the chicken and egg ultimately. Like I might have like, let's say 7 friends that I regularly want to hang out with, but if only 2 of them are on it, like how useful is it, you know?
Right. Yep. And so I think, you know, we've now got, you know, with access to, you know, with your contact book, you can send your friends a text who are in your book. Mm-hmm. So that's like one early way to get there, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential growth strategies that they can go with, but yeah, there definitely is network effect.
Yeah. So there's also one app that is similar. It's very different, but it's similar in that it brings friends together offline. Jukli. Do you know Jukli?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Jukli. Do you know Jukli, Kat?
I haven't.
Okay.
Used it.
So
great push notifications.
It's a like magical push notification. So it's actual push notifications that you want to actually see. And so it's ultimately at its core, it's a concert music discovery service. But what it is it's sort of, it just kind of takes this data that you have through Facebook and other means, and it knows what artists you like and what artists your friends like. And it will send you these really smart push notifications saying, like, Jack, like, who's like a band or an artist you like?
The Shins.
The Shins. It'd be like, the Shins are playing in on April, like, 24th at the Independent. It's Jack's, like, favorite artist. You guys should go together. And so it kind of creates this, like,
that's very cool,
opportunity to connect offline, an excuse to, like, message you and say, hey, we should go to a concert.
So do you go in and put in your input your favorite artists, or does it pull it from somewhere?
Yeah, it just pulls it from Facebook. And I think maybe Spotify. I don't know if
they
get Spotify
and iTunes as well.
Yeah. So it's pretty smart, and you can imagine that expanding from, like, you know, music to comedy and to movies and to a lot of other, like, genres. And so many of these apps that are focused on bringing people offline, like friends offline, they don't have, like, this vehicle to, like, bring people offline. It's, like, forced in many ways. So I'm not going to say, I mean, yeah, I'll text you and say, hey, you want to hang out, but I love a better excuse, just like Snapchat, where you just, like, poke someone effectively. I would like that, but with the intention of actually hanging out offline. And I think Jukely's going the right direction there.
Yeah, and I think Flock has a degree of what you just said about poking.
Yeah.
There's kind of an element of, this is very casual, I'm not sending you a direct text that you feel obligated to reply to, but, like,
yeah,
what's going on.
So have you successfully flocked?
I've been part of small flocks.
Okay.
In New York. I was part of a couple small flocks. No V, but we did all get there. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think the network effect is going to be there. That is the ultimate obstacle for them. But,
yeah.
I think it's a great product.
No, we should put two of these apps together. So I don't know if you saw it today. It was called Listen In. It's a basically an app to sync up music so you can do, like, silent dance parties. So if we can have Flock and Listen In together, and then we can have flocks of silent dance parties.
There's an idea.
That's a product right there.
Huge.
You guys are investors. That's, like, at least $1 billion, right?
At least.
At least.
Yeah.
We'll call it, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, it's a cool space. I think there's a lot to be done in that area. Like, how do you just bring people offline? Because we are continually online interacting with each other. And so many times I'm just, like, chatting online, but I'm not actually talking to people in real life. And I need more excuses to talk to people.
Right. And I think one of the big problems is picking the right communication channels. Because you don't want to, like, post on Facebook that you want to hang out with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't just want to text one person. So I think finding that balance is tough.
Actually, that's a great segue. What do you think about Facebook's Nearby Friends?
You know, it's interesting because it seems like they did kind of a soft launch, and I wonder if that was, I don't know if that was an effect of Facebook paper, but.
Well, they did, I mean, they kind of saw, it seemed like a soft launch, but when I opened up the app, it asked me, do you want to enable Nearby Friends? So it seemed they might have been testing in different groups.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Oh, I didn't get that.
And so I enabled it, and I've played around with it a little bit. I did watch TechCrunch's video overview, and they talked, I think it was Josh Constein talked about it, and they had some interesting mechanics where if you don't enable it in your feed, it'll ask you, or it'll say, four of your friends are nearby, do you want to enable this feature so you can see who it is and where they are? And so I think that they'll probably eventually spread it through the application and the community.
It's interesting, I'm looking at it right now, it tells me Ryan Hoover is my nearest friend.
Oh.
That's pretty accurate. Unfortunately, it doesn't care about you, Jack.
Yeah, I guess I haven't gotten on yet.
Yeah, we've got to become friends.
I know, right?
Anyway, it's kind of interesting.
They don't push
it's,
it to me yet.
I think at my initial, and I think I posted some product on, my initial thought on that was, I first, many people on Facebook, I just don't want to hang out with, frankly. And I don't want excuses for them to come by and say, hey, Ryan, you want to, like, hang out right now? I think, I don't know. I hope that I don't sound like a dick, but I think I feel...
Could that perhaps work in the other direction? So you're saying, oh, there's, you know, Ryan Hoover's here. I better run. I better get out of here.
That's funny you say that because there's a product just for that. Did you see that?
I don't think I saw that. I heard you guys talking about it in the last episode.
Yeah, I didn't mention the actual name. I forgot the name of it, but yeah, it's like the exact opposite of Flock. It's basically you mark people you don't want to hang out with, and it will notify you when they're nearby.
Wow.
So you can run.
Avoid them.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I could have used that in high school.
Yeah. What's your favorite product, Nikhil? All
right. So mine is actually a digital book called Design Plus Code by a guy in Japan, I believe, Mangto. The reason I really like this product, Hunt, is... because I don't think I would have ever found it had I not been on Product Hunt. You know, I'm not a designer or a coder by day, and so I rarely get to use these tools in my day-to-day job, but I saw this pop up, and I'd heard that Sketch is a great tool from a whole bunch of different designers, so I started to play around with Sketch 3, I found Design Plus Code, which is a tutorial on Sketch 3, and it's amazing. I mean, it's really well done. It gets you going in minutes rather than days.
Hmm.
It satisfied my desire to build things while still doing venture capital stuff day to day.
How does Sketch, at a high level, how is it different than Photoshop and Illustrator? Like, how is it better? Because I have heard a lot of good things about it from designers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, I'm not an expert on this, given that I haven't used many of these things that much. But it makes things really easy to simulate on the iOS simulator that just pops up.
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically built for doing iOS apps. And, you know, when a tool caters to that, there are many different nice features that it builds in to make that really easy. So that's at least what I found.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a few books that have been posted. I think Alexis Ohanian's book, well, he posted that one without permission. That was a fun AMA.
Mm-hmm.
And
so is this like a product that developers would use, like maybe while they're creating like MVPs?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's a tutorial in both Xcode and Sketch. And so, you know, the thesis I think behind the book is let's enable people to easily create applications who might not have the past experience of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I haven't coded in a while. This is a great way for me to start doing it again. A really easy tutorial to do so.
Nice. Have you used Flinto or Envision? There's some other like prototyping tools. They're definitely not like Sketch, where it's like built for creating a design. But
you know, too many products.
It's kind of my job.
I have to say, I mean, back when we built Artsy, like we used Balsamic and we were doing things in PowerPoint. And
yeah.
The tools have gotten so much better in 5 years. It's amazing. And I guess particularly as a result of mobile having exploded, you know, now the ability to easily design for Android and iOS using these tools makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, I use OmniGraffle, actually. Do you guys, you know, OmniGraffle? It's not, I mean, it's decently well-known, but not super popular. And I like it because it's the right balance between giving you control and simplifying things. So it's just really easy to create, usually wireframes, less so mocks. But you can create mocks in them too. But I'm a fan. Yeah, so what's your favorite product, Kat?
So my favorite, I haven't tried it yet because I'm still on the waiting list, but it's called Fixed, and it's an app that helps you pay for and fight parking tickets, and it's a huge problem in San Francisco. I get probably at least one every month and a half, and there are definitely some of the parking tickets in there that I would, if I had more time, would definitely fight. I've been waiting to use Fixed. And I've just noticed a YC company that was on Product Hunt that's in a similar vein is AirHelp, and they help you get reimbursed by airlines if your flight is canceled. And so I've kind of really liked the, you know, consumer protection kind of apps and services that I've been seeing. So those were two that I really was excited about using.
How does that Fixed work exactly?
Based on what I've seen in the, they're basically like App Store preview, you would take a photo of the ticket and you have notes on, you know, and any kind of photos that you've taken of, you know, your car at the site. And you give them all the evidence that, you know, this is why my ticket, you know, is invalid. This is why I should, you know, I shouldn't have to pay this.
And
then
they do all the grunt
work
for you.
They do the grunt work.
Oh, okay. Because I think I've read that you basically can go through these steps and every single time it will like at least reduce your bill by like half or something if you just fight it, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
I just don't have time to do
that. I tried to fight a parking ticket like 3 months ago and I paid by phone using the Pay by Phone app. So I had the receipt that I'd paid it, but I still somehow got the ticket. I sent a request in saying, hey guys, like here's my Pay by Phone receipt. I still got denied, and they said that the next step was to show up at the courthouse to contest it. And I just didn't have the time, I paid the $70. But
yeah.
Fixed is an amazing, potentially amazing sounding service that would have just solved all my problems. Fixed them.
Yeah.
It's funny because in San Francisco, I think I often hear people kind of making an expected value calculation about whether it's worth it to buy the parking or take the, you know, 10% risk to get the ticket. And you'll often hear it's like, well, even if I get the ticket, I can just go fix it really quickly. But like, you know, maybe you can't. So with this service, it's like, you know, bring down the calculation. So maybe no one will pay for parking now.
Yeah.
is there, could you actually make money as like an insurance? So you basically like buy parking insurance and they make some money off like the margins
Sounds possible, actually.
That could, yeah. Could be a thing.
Sounds like there's something there.
There are not that many dollars at stake compared to other types of insurance, but...
No. Yeah, you'd have to get the whole country going, but...
The problem is you have complete control over whether you put money in the meter or not. I don't know, terrible idea. So, one of the products I haven't used yet that I'm actually considering maybe is Patreon. Do you guys know Patreon?
Oh, I really like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I recently met the one of the founders, Jack, at an event, and he kind of demoed the product. And I knew about it before, but I heard a little bit more about it. And I just love the idea of funding creators on an ongoing basis directly from the people themselves, the consumers. And I just love that kind of space in general. Like Kickstarter, I think, is the most pronounced, I guess, platform for that right now. But there's also other things coming out, like AlphaWorks for crowdfunding to an extent. Patreon's a great example of like ongoing content that you can fund. And I've been thinking, like, could I experiment with that? Maybe as a part of Product Hunt, maybe use Patreon for the podcast? Would people pay for this? They probably wouldn't pay for it, but they'd pay just for the love, hopefully, of Product Hunt. Maybe. But I don't know. I like the model. I like the idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I think it's like, you know, we're in a world now where people are putting content out for free everywhere. Like people post blogs for free, people put YouTube videos up for free. Like sometimes there are ads that you have to consume, but I think a lot of people would like, you know, enjoy supporting artists. So I think I love Patreon. I think it's great.
Yeah I use it. I actually Patreon Jack's band Pomplamoose.
Oh, nice.
And then Scott Bradley, who is behind, they're called Postmodern Jukebox, and they basically do kind of jazz age renditions of pop songs, whether it's like Miley Cyrus or, you know, Lorde. They'll do it kind of like a either Motown or jazz age kind of. It's really cool, and it makes you feel like you're part of the creative process, because they'll send you, you know, I always get like I think a push notification or an email that says like, oh, you know, Scott just, you know, released a new video on YouTube, check it out. And you know, so it's pretty, I like it a lot.
I haven't looked at a lot of the creators yet, but do some of them give you like exclusive access to things or like merchandise or anything?
Higher
or
levels, I know they'll, you know, for example, I think for Postmodern Jukebox, they'll say like if you, you can ask them to like cover a certain song for at a certain level of patronage.
Oh, so it's a little bit of like a Fiverr element there.
Yeah.
Fiverr, by the way, is just ridiculously awesome. Like $5 for like anything. I thought about having someone sing like a Product Hunt jingle or something. I don't know what I'd do with it, but maybe put it into one of the emails.
I'm good for now, but
I don't think it needs the $5, but the offer stands. Actually, I think I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to.
What are you thinking about with like what's the tagline or
for the jingle?
The jingle, yeah.
I don't know. Something to do with you could play off the hunting theme. I don't know. I've already looked for like hunting related songs and for other things.
A riff off the Duck Hunt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I listened to the Duck Hunt theme song recently. I'm like, it's not very memorable. Like no one would know what it is. It's kind of 8-bitty.
I don't know why, but I'm thinking about What Does the Fox Say Now?
Oh, God.
Fox Hunts.
Yes. That's just kind of like a secret. It's like a secret reference. Like Secret has a fox.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Little mascot.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is very, very nice branding. Actually, so what do you think about the anonymous space? I know this is like a very trendy kind of, I don't want to say bubbly space, but I'm noticing several different apps and products on Product Hunt.
To me, I think, you know, when you strip out identity, as these anonymous networks do, you can get interesting content that you don't get on existing social networks. So, for example, when you post something on Facebook and on Twitter, it's stuff that you want people to see that represents you, that you want people to like and comment on and retweet. But with some of these anonymous networks, you post things and it's not because of wanting people to like it. It's because you want to get it off your chest, or you want people to feel, you want to feel empathy around like something that you're going through. And content like that. So to me, that's why some of these anonymous networks are compelling.
So one of the OGs of anonymous commenting, obviously, is Reddit.
Yeah.
And I actually love, so when AMAs, now it's like all celebrities do AMAs, like Obama and Ira Glass and like all sorts of people do AMAs. But before, I used to love it when it was like I am a, you know, subway engineer, or I am a, I think it was a Disney princess, a woman who plays a Disney princess in Disneyland, like ask me anything. It was people who, their identities were still anonymous. So they could say kind of more, you know, racy things about what they were doing and not be completely outed. And so I agree with you on that. There's certain elements, like storytelling elements to it that I think are really powerful.
Yeah. And I think on Facebook and Twitter, because of, you know, all kind of social incentives, you see people posting primarily happy things, and you see people primarily agreeing with each other. Sometimes you'll get, you know, a philosophical debate or two going on. But for the most part, you see people posting good things that are happening in their lives and people agreeing with them and supporting them. And that's not always an accurate picture of life. And I think on an app like Secret, you can get someone posting, you know, I'm feeling sad today. And you don't really see that on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, you get kind of a more complete picture of how, you know, people are feeling, what they're thinking, and... so I think that's one interesting component.
Yeah. On Secret, I wanted to see like some button where if it's someone who looks like, seems like they're really sad, just send them like, send them like flowers, just like a send flowers button on Secret. You're like, it's okay, dude.
Maybe that's the monetization strategy.
Maybe exactly. We could send them a t-shirt.
Yeah.
There
we go.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was actually, there's this post, on Secret that I found maybe a month or two ago, and I mean, there are lots of different types of posts, but one of them was, my life sucks, I want to kill myself. And this was from one of my friends. And, you know, immediately I was like, wow, that's, if that's true, like, that's, you're not going to see that anywhere else. That means a lot. And then I was looking through the comments and someone wrote this, I don't know how long it is, like a paragraph long response and basically like empathizing and being like very serious, like reach out to us, like you're our friend. Like if you need help, talk to us, be real. And those are the types of behaviors and types of things I really like to see out of these anonymous networks. You also see the exact opposite too, and you see trolls, and it's going to be hard to see how Secret, Whisper, all these other anonymous apps control that. And also there's a debate to be said for like, okay, if trolls want to be trolls, it's like, that's just the way it is. That's life. So do you try and censor that, or do you try and mitigate that? Maybe not. So I don't know where they're going long term. I definitely think the anonymous space is it's not a bubbly space. I think it's meant to be, and it needs to be here today. I don't know. That's a bad way of saying it.
It's probably just in its early days and sorting itself out.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's well said, Jack. Well
thank
said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Which anonymous app do you use right now yourself?
So I go back and forth on Secret because sometimes, as you were saying, it has really powerful statements in there or really funny or interesting, but it was giving me anxiety. So like I was like, I don't need this. I don't need to read this. And I deleted it. But then I came back to it just because everyone, you know, so many people I knew were using it. And it was actually really fun when at the very beginning I had like 5 friends who were on it. So I could kind of be like, oh, I vaguely know what secrets these are. And as it's grown, it's become way more like seriously anonymous.
Harder to triangulate.
Yep. So it's less of a game. Yeah. It's more, but it does have that sticky element of the fact that you know that, you know, these are some of your friends who are posting it. It's not just like some random, which I think is the element that keeps people coming back.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but everyone always knows it's me, no matter what I say, even if it's not specific to me. The other day I posted, today was a good day, emoji, like fist bump or something. And then the next day, Russ at Tradecraft, he asked me, hey, Ryan, did you post it was a good day yesterday on Secret? And I'm like, how did you know that was me? This is so generic. And so I'm done posting real secrets because everyone knows.
Wow.
Like people just comment RH in the comments and like, how do you know?
I love the, it tells you how far, you know, nearby secrets. And so I've been seeing from my apartment, it says like, you know, 100 meters. And I'm like, whoa, where is my apartment? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I've actually also seen though, which is a really good community thing. I've seen people try to call out the secreter and then other commenters will be like, not cool. Like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting little community dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I use a lot of the anonymous apps just to play around with it, and I find them pretty fascinating. One aspect of Whisper that I do really like is the private messaging. I don't know if you guys have ever posted a Whisper, but very often when you post something, not only can you get responses in the form of another Whisper, but you can get private, you know, one-to-one messages from people who see your Whisper. And it's led to some pretty fascinating conversations, like, you know, it's hard for me to reveal my deepest secrets.
Yeah.
But, you know, I once had a friend who posted about being in the friend zone on Wispa, and he got like 5 or 6 messages from people, you know, all around the world, wherever they were, giving him advice on how to break out of the friend zone. Like a post from an 18-year-old girl who messaged him like 20 times saying, hey, like, I just got together with someone finally who I've been friends with for 5 years, and here's how it happened, and detailing the whole story.
Do people come back to those conversations, like, let's say a month later? Does he go back to the one-to-one conversation, and do they have this, sort of this anonymous relationship, or is it sort of ephemeral and doesn't really exist?
I think absolutely people come back. In fact, if you search on Wispa, met on Wispa as a term, you will find...
Is that the new met on Craigslist or something?
It's totally wild. Like, there are many people who've met other people on Wispa, and people who've gotten married now having met on Wispa.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can search and discover crazy stuff like that.
Now that I think about it, there's kind of an argument to be made that Tinder is semi-anonymous because it's not broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just has your first name on there. And people are the way that people use it, I don't think there's like a lot of identity tied to it. There's something semi-anonymous about
it. One thing just came, you know how a lot of people maybe 5 years ago with Twitter were talking about real time? Like every new company was real time in some way, and real time was the hottest thing. I think in some ways anonymous is kind of like real time. You know, just how you describe, Jack. A lot of things that we've maybe been using already are semi-anonymous in some way. And it's just that this removal of identity is leading to the creation of new types of networks. I mean, Reddit's been around for so long, as Kat mentioned, and it's anonymous. And
it's an interesting like push and pull as people put their whole lives online, but still don't want to be exposed in every way. So there's like an interesting tension there.
One of my favorite anonymous apps that is now dead is Rando. Rando basically, you would take a photo and it would send to a random person on the other side of the world, and it would just tell you what country it was sent to, or what city maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would receive one back from another anonymous person from some other city, and you only knew what, like the geographic location, the general. And so it was kind of cool because you would see these, and unlike Instagram or Facebook, the photos were never like interesting. They were always very banal.
But they were circular. It was actually very interesting. Yeah. I know, but they were circular. Even just putting them in that circular shape like added some interest to them versus this traditional square. So there's something about that.
But it kind of made me feel like I really like the idea of like, I love the movie Being John Malkovich, where you're kind of, you know, inside someone else's head and in their experience at that moment. And Rando kind of felt like that, because it just felt like you're in someone else's like really boring life.
And you know that photo had to be taken from their phone. It wasn't like you can upload a photo.
Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of Chat Roulette in
a
certain way. And Chat Roulette, actually, now that I think about it, is also semi-anonymous.
So the first Rando I got was actually, this was when it first launched, like shortly after it launched, I was using it. And I sent a Rando out. So what was interesting about Rando is that you have to send photos to get photos, which is kind of a unique model. And I sent one, and I got the first one back was some dude in Russia, like looking outside of his window at like this snowy weather. And it was just really cool to see that, like that quick kind of like touch point between these two different cultures and two different locations. Cause you can also see the map when you like tap the photo, like flips it over and shows the map of where they are. And it was like kind of a little bit like almost magical technology, man. Cool. Well, this has been fun. Well, do you guys have anything to plug? You know you want to plug Teespring.
I'll plug
Teespring if you're not going to plug Teespring.
I already put a shirt in. We already talked about it twice.
That's right. Well, I need to make some more like Product Hunt Teespring shirts here pretty soon.
Yeah.
What should the
next... Can you get a YC one going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll totally. Okay. I always do YC shirts on Teespring.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
What should the next Product Hunt T-shirt be? Like we had this dog kind of illustration last time.
You could put some icons of products that have been upvoted.
Could. Probably get taken off of copyright, though.
But I don't think people would be that worried about that products being...
Yeah, you could probably ask the founders. I'm sure they'd all be thrilled.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, just your face, maybe. Like, just your avatar, Nikhil.
I would wear Nikhil's face.
Yeah, upvote this.
I wear Ryan's face.
Yeah, no, you don't. too many colors, actually. I tried to upload the kitty one.
Yeah.
Too many colors.
It's way too many colors, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You have a bad quality shirt.
Yeah. So, and then YC, you are doing interviews next week. Or this
this week.
Yeah.
So we just read through, 3,000 plus applications.
3,000?
Wow.
Wow. How many are you interviewing, can you say?
Almost 350.
Wow.
Roughly.
That's going to be busy.
How many spots are going to be in this batch?
I mean, there's never, we just kind of interview and take based on, what comes out.
And the partnership has grown a bit, so you guys should be able to scale to some degree more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just brought on, I'm a full-time partner now, and Justin Kahn and Aaron Harris, and then we just brought on three part-time partners as well. Cool. Patrick Carlson from Stripe, Elizabeth Irons from Science Exchange, and Yuri Sagalov from AeroFS.
Nice.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Anything to plug on your end, Nikhil?
One app that we're an investor in is Doctor on Demand. This is an app for calling a doctor for having a 15-minute video chat. You pay $40 and you get to see a doctor face-to-face for 15 minutes. And I used it a couple weeks back when I was sick. And it's this kind of magical experience. When you go to a doctor today, you have to drive there, then we have to fill out maybe a couple forms, wait in the waiting room for 10 minutes, see the nurse for 10 minutes and get all your vitals checked. And then finally you get to the doctor and you maybe have 5 minutes with them. Whereas with Doctor on Demand, you get to just have a face-to-face video call with them for 15 minutes and they're actually looking at you and interacting with you. And you can get a prescription as well through the app, just delivered to your nearest pharmacy.
I love this.
So check it out. Hopefully no one's feeling sick, but if you are, check it out. It's a really nice experience.
And where are the doctors based? Just anywhere?
Yeah, they can be anywhere. A lot of the doctors that are on Doctor on Demand are, working mothers who need to be at home during the day, who now can take a call from a patient and earn money from their bedroom. Hmm.
Yeah, it's a great product. It's great.
Cool. Hopefully I don't have to use it. Hopefully. Just jinxed myself. Cool. Well, thanks. This is fun. And we'll do another one next week. Anyway, that's all. See you guys.